Okay, so we're going to start Meleches Kibui. Interestingly enough, Meleches Kibui comes before Meleches Havara. Perhaps that is to emphasize, this of course is a Machlokes Tanayim, but the way we paskin, that it's only Mechabe Almanas Lehavir, like when you're making a Pecham. We'll see that's why, presumably, when you're dealing with, let's say, a illuminated metal, like an incandescent light bulb, even if you assume that there's an Isser D'oraisa of Havara to put it on, which is a question, but turning it off, as Rashi explains, would not be Mechabe, because you're not Ose Pecham. And even though we have other Melachos where we say it's only Almanas, like Soser Almanas Livnos or Kore Almanas Litfor, the fact that Kibui has to be in order to facilitate Havara, as we see from that din, might be an even stronger connection. Perhaps one way or the other, Kibui is first. We're going to start with the sugya of Gram Kibui, which is primarily a sugya on Daf Kuf Chaf. And this is an interesting question. The question is, what happens when you have a fire? How do you put it out? So obviously it goes without saying that if the fire is pikuach nefesh, so then it would be aser. It would be chayef, sorry. It's good to somebody. You're absolutely obligated to put it out, and a person should never ask any shailas b'makom pikuach nefesh. And probably typically, you know, in our homes where the homes are close to each other and a fire that would get out of control could then go ahead and spread and kill people. So one would typically put out a fire in the normal way. I should note, I once had a seventh grade Rebbe, who told me, came in one week, and he said that he had a fire in his house, and he put it out following the rules of the Mishnah. He said what happened was the candlesticks tipped over. Somebody knocked over the candlesticks. They had them on the table. They had the tablecloth caught on fire. So it wasn't a very big fire. It was very easy in control. So we'll see that we paskin preferably you shouldn't use water. So they poured orange juice in a circle around the fire, and the fire put itself out. Anyhow, so I guess as long as one is absolutely sure there's no case of pikuach nefesh, these halachos are relevant. But we'll see, actually, and this is what we're going to spend most of our time studying today, that this is an opportunity for us to discuss the general halachos of grama in Hilchos Shabbos, which have many, many, many applications. So there's a machlokas in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, how you could put out a fire on Shabbos. The Mishnah says, Osen Mechitza B'chol HaKelim, Bein Melein, Bein Rekanim, B'shvil Shelo Tavor Adleika. You can make a Mechitza out of Kelim, and the idea is that when the fire would spread, it would, the Kelim will put out the fire. Rabbi Yossi Oser B'klicheres Chadashim Le'mayim, She'en Yechol Mekabel Es Ha'or, Bein Nisbakin U'mechaben Es Adleika. Rabbi Yossi says, well, if you use klicheres chadashim melayim mayim, so what's going to happen? Then with certainty, the fire will break open the kelim and extinguish the fire, and it would be aser. But we paskin, like the Rabbanan, that gram kibui is mutter. And the Gemara says that this is because lo sasa kol melacha asiyahu de aser, grama shari. Important question, is this drasha needed? And what does it tell us that we have a drasha in a realm of Hilchos Shabbos? In other places in the Torah, we also have a p'tur of grama, like an Ezekin, for example. How do these two relate? We'll get back to that question in a moment. Now, the Gemara says that as well, that if you have a talis that caught on fire, you can put it on. Poshto miskaseba beinu chosheish. You don't have to worry if it goes out. And likewise, a Sefer Torah that's on fire, you could unroll it and learn from it, and it's mutter. Now, why is it mutter to be miskasa in this talus? Again, you have a talus, it's on fire, you're putting it on. By putting it on, you put out the fire. Why is that mutter? So if you look at the Torah over here, he says that's because of Davishen Miskafein. This is the Torah in Siman Shin Lamed Aled. The Torah writes, V'tal sh'achaz b'ha'or, poshto miskasa ba, v'enucho sheshem t'chabe, kevan she'eno mechavein l'kach, v'chein, okay. So you're not, it's a Davishen Miskafein. Now, it's hard to understand because, let's say like this. By talus, I could understand saying this interpretation because the Gemara's Lashana is im kavsa kavsa. But by the case of chavios, right, the discussion in the Mishnah where you surround the fire with barrels of water, so certainly that's not a case of davishin miskavein. It's 100% miskavein. So it seems that the Torah actually understands that this case is a slightly different heter. A one heter discussed in the sugya is the heter of grama. We'll talk about that in a moment. And this is another heter of putting on the talus, and it's mutter because of eino miskavein, or likewise rolling open the Sefer Torah. Now, the problem is, if it's really davish eino miskavein, then it, obviously it's mutter, right? I don't know, maybe it's carved lip secretion. Not so clear why he thinks this is a chiddush if it's actually davish eino miskavein, because we know davish eino miskavein is mutter, unless you say, again, maybe that this is a carved lip secretion, here they were makel, not so clear. But the Beis Yosef points out that all the other Rishonim disagree with the Torah about this. And they say, no, it's mutter even if it's miskavein. Why? They weren't gozer b'makom seda. Because it's lo nirak miskavein, it's kilachar yad. Again, the lashon of the Beis Yosef, this is in Sif Chaf Gimel. He writes, v'nirim edivri rabbeinu, d'davka b'shem miskavein l'chabos al-yidei kach. It's davka mutter to put on a talus because you're not miskavein to put out the fire. Elishim tzarach l'skasos betalos v'likros b'sefer miskasos v'kori v'enum nimna daf alpi shal yedei kain nis techabe. So aye, it's going to go out anyway. Las lanba the davishen miskavein hu umoter avalim hu miskavein l'chabos al yedei kach v'adai aser. According to the Torah, it's aser for mechavein. Aye, what about putting mashkim on the talus? That's certainly miskavein. So the Beis Yosef answers, shani hasam delo have ala gram kiboy. That's a case of grama, because what's going to happen is the fire spreads, it's going to be put out by the water, or the water is going to prevent it from going further. But this is not gram kiboy when you put on the talus. This is actual kiboy, which is why it's mutter only if it's in a miskavein. But the Torah says, Aval medivrei shar poskim ein nirakein, ela filum eino tzarach letalos ulesefer, ela shemiskavin lechalos ha'esh ha'idei shemisna anea, mitzad kisuyav, betalos v'achizaso b'sefer shari, delove ela gram kiboy. According to all the other Rishonim, who don't mention this condition of being eino miskavin, it is mutter to put on the talos, even though you are miskavin. This too is considered grama, because nobody mentioned this condition, v'enu miskavein. U'mashma b'pshat ha'lashon, shu miskas v'talos v'kori b'sefer, k'dei shalo yira k'miskavein. So why do you need to, why does the Gemara mention that you have to read from the Sefer Torah or put on the talus? That's so it doesn't look like you're miskavein. Aval v'adei mechavein, but v'adei you are mechavein. L'chavos v'afilu ha'chi shari. V'ner de time, v'shem de lapsik reishahu. It's not certain. You may put on a talus and it still will burn. It's tricky to understand exactly what the heter is according to Beis Yosef. He mentions that it's grama, but he says that's not good enough. You have to look like you're not mechavein. And then he says it's only because it's eino vadai and it's klachar yad. But if it's vadai, it sounds like it would be aser, presumably because it isn't grama. So the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Lamed Gimel, Sif Chaf Gimel, brings both deos. Tala Shachas B'ha'or, Poshto Miskasa B'Aveinu Choshesh Im Techabeh. The first opinion is you just put it on and you don't worry if it goes out. V'yesh Mishomer, Shetzarech Shelo yiskaven lekach, like the view of the Torah. That's the second view of the Torah. And what the Shulchan Aruch means is what he explains in the Beis Yosef, it's only mutter if you're not mechaven. The Taz, though, rejects this understanding of the Torah. He says that when a Torah meant lo yiskaven, avada you're miskaven. What, like, you really want to read the Sefer that's on fire? Give me a break. It means that lo yiskaven bepe'ulaso l'chabos ma shehudlak kvar, ela shelo tidlak yoser. Means you're not mechaven to extinguish it, but rather you just don't want it to spread. And memela, if it goes out on its own, then it goes out, because you're not miskaven for kibui. Also, the Magen Avraham disagrees with the Beis Yosef Bedas HaTor. Even the Torah agrees that if you're mechaven, it's mutter, means you can't like run around and be minanea anava ana kadesh yichabe. That's what's also. That's what he means, lo yiskaven. In other words, according to all these interpretations, the heter is because of grama. The way is, like I said, the Taz says it's grama because you're not putting it out, you're just preventing the fire from spreading further, and it puts itself out because if there's no fuel, it'll go out. And that's more or less what the Mishnah Berurah says. So this brings us really to the main part of the sugya. Again, according to the Torah, as understood by the Beis Yosef, this is sort of a tangential point. But the main part of our sugya is grama, and we need to figure out basically the big issue that we need to figure out is what is the getter of grama. Again, here we see to some degree it's debated, right, with a debate what exactly, whether this would constitute grama or not. So what is grama? So let's consider two sugyas at first. The first sugya is our Mishnah and Shabbos. Our Mishnah and Shabbos says that putting the barrels around the fire is considered kiboy al yaday grama. And then we have the sugya in the Gemara in Beya daf of Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there says, Hamistapek Mishem and Shebiner, Chayev Misham Mechabe. If you are mistapek, if you remove some oil from the a lit candle, so then that's a violation of Mechabe, your Chayev, at least if you hold a Melach Shein Shvichel Guf as Chayev. Why? Because you're causing the candle to go out earlier, right? Right now, there's a 2 hours worth of oil. If I siphon off some oil, then it will burn for an hour and a half. So it's going to extinguish half hour earlier. So I would have thought that's grama. But the Mishnah, the Gemara Beya, says you're chayev. It's not grama. So how do we resolve that? That's the big question in our sugya. Again, to repeat, the steer is as follows. The Gemara in Shabbos says that surrounding a fire by barrels of water that will inevitably break is grama and mutter. And the Gemara in Beitza says if you remove some oil from a candle, you're chayav. Both cases, you're causing the flame to go out earlier than it would normally and naturally do. Therefore, both of them seem to be equally grama or equally not grama. So why are we distinguishing between the two of them? So the Rishonim have a number of approaches to answer this question. So Tosos in Beya says, Enachanami, mistapek mishemen shebener, the iser is not because you're causing it to go out earlier. That would actually be grama. Rather, the pshat is that when you siphon off some of the oil, you cause the flame to be diminished immediately a little bit. It goes down a little bit. That's what happened. And therefore, you're chayev. In other words, but causing the flame to go out earlier, that would not be grama. We'll see a little bit later that Tosus is shita. Well, we'll say it that way. Tosos seems to hold that anytime there's no immediate effect on the fire, it is grama. If it's a delayed effect, it's grama. It's only machab if there's an immediate effect. And over here, when you're siphoning off the oil from the candle, so therefore it'd be grama. Therefore, Tosos says, for example, let's say you have a candle. This is a wax candle, and it's burning. It's going to burn for 2 hours. And I carefully cut off the bottom half. Now it's only going to burn for an hour. So according to Tosfos, that would be grama. There's actually other issues when you do it that way, because it might be a problem with makom potash. We'll leave that aside for now, because you know you're making a new candle. There might be other ways to avoid that by cutting it using another candle. But fundamentally, in terms of the dinim of gram kiboy, that would be considered gram kiboy. Why? You're just making it go out earlier. The Rush, however, in Beya, Perek Beis, Simen Yud Zayin, disagrees with Tosfos. He disagrees with Tosfos. And he says that if you look at the Mishnah and Shabbos, Chaf Tes Amud Beis, we say this every Friday night, at least if you're Ashkenazi, you see not that way. The Mishnah says, Lo Yikov Adam Shofer Shel Beis V'Malena Shemen V'Nen Al Pianer B'Shvil Shetemina Tefes. So over there you basically have a candle. Let's imagine you have an oil candle. And then you make a residual fuel tank in an eggshell. And the residual fuel tank drips into the main chamber with oil. So you're not allowed to do this. Why? Gzeira, you might siphon off some oil from the residual tank. Now, if that's true, so what would be if you did siphon off the oil from the residual tank? According to Tosfos, that should be grama. Why? Because in that case, you're not causing the fire that's already lit to get lower, to go down, because you're not actually taking the oil from the main fuel tank, you're taking it from the residual fuel tank. So according to Tosfos, that's grama. And it wouldn't make sense that we'd have a gzera atu grama. In fact, actually, we'll see in a moment from this Rush, this is the diak that the Magen Avraham makes, he actually seems to assume in the way he asked this question that grama is mutter, not even pater velaser. Like the Mordechai says, we'll see it a little bit later. Mordechai says that grama is only mutter b'makom hafsed. From this Rush, you see that grama is actually hater gamar. But anyway, so the Rush says that grama is, that you see from there, that there is going to be a problem, presumably a iser chamor, if you siphon off the oil from the residual fuel tank. And therefore, whereas according to Tosfos, that would be grama. So it must be Tosfos' answer is incorrect. So what then is the reason? Why is it that it's how do you resolve the stira between the Gemara and Shabbos and the Gemara and Beitza? Now, parenthetically, the lashon of the Rush sounds like if you take off that residual oil, it's an iser d'oraisa. Again, it might not be d'oraisa just because it's an shichel gufa, but fundamentally it's an iser d'oraisa, though the poskim debate exactly how literally to read that. If you look at the Karban Nisanal over there, quotes Yom Shal Shlomo, who discusses this. But anyway, we'll read it kapshuto, it's an iser d'oraisa, except that it's maybe an shichel gufa. Good. So therefore, the Rush says that what's the pshat why mistapek min haner is going to be aser? Because you're memar kibuyav. As the Rush says, no, let's read the Gemara in Shabbos, Chavtes, the Gemara in Beitza, Perek Sheni, Kipshuto, that if you're memar kibuyav, that is not grama. Causing something to go out earlier isn't grama. Aye, so why is it considered grama when you surround the fire with barrels of water? That's very different. That's something that's external. It's external to the fire. It just happens to be that when the fire reaches it, it'll cause it to go out. In other words, it seems like he's saying that the difference between grama and kiboy biadayim is not whether the effect is immediate or not, as Tosfos maintains, but rather the distinction is whether it's all part of one system or not. Is it something outside of the system, like putting the barrels of wine, of water around the fire? That would be grama. Or is it part of the system, like siphoning off oil from the candle? If it's part of the system, it's not grama, even though there's not going to be an effect for a while, because you're having an effect on the system, an immediate effect on the system, and therefore it's aser. So therefore, according to Tosfot Rush, cutting off the bottom half of the wax candle would be an Isser Deraisav Kibbui. The Tosfot said that would be only Gram Kibbui. The Rush would say it's Deraisav Kibbui. So this is a very big machlokas. If we take a look at the Tur, Simen Tuf Kuf Yud Dalid, Sif Gimel, he writes that it's mutter to put something on a wax candle so it'll go out earlier. Sounds like he's talking about, let's say, putting the candle into the sand or something, such that when it reaches the sand, when it burns lower, it'll go out earlier. The Beis Yosef wonders, how could that be? After all, according to the Rush, this shouldn't be grama, because you're touching the candle. You're touching the candle. In other words, you're putting this candle into the sand, right? I'll read you the Lashon of the Beis Yosef. V'nira midvarav, meaning the Rush, de kandila shel shava be'odo doleg aser l'chotcho, would be aser to cut the candle l'shnayim, afim chotcho be'or, as even though you avoid the problem of tikkun kli by being machotcho be'or, de kemen shasa ma'isa b'shaiva l'psila, chashiv mechabe, that's mechabe b'yadayim, it's not gram kiboy, v'aser v'lo dami l'psila d'shar l'chotcho be'or, says the Beis Yosef that according to the Tur presumably learns like the father, the Rush, must be that you put the candle in the sand before you lit it. But if you put the candle in the sand after you lit it, so that would be aser. Why? Because the sand is touching the candle. If the sand is touching the candle, you're touching the fuel, that's like siphoning off the fuel. That's the way the Beis Yosef understood the Torah. That's the way Paskins and the Shulchan Aruch over there in Hilchos Yantif. The Magen Avraham, though, Sif Katan Zion, disagrees. He says even the Rush would agree that this is mutter because the sand isn't part of the system. It's outside of the system. The only time it's aser, meaning to say it's mechabe mamish, not grama, is when you're taking oil out. But if you're just surrounding it, so then that wouldn't be grama. The Lashon is, I'll read you the Magen Avraham again, in Simen Tav Kuf Yud Dalet, Sif Zayin, Mitzarach Iyun, Ma'ishna Mital Shachas Bo Ha'or, Shemotar Liten Alav Mayim. According to the Beis Yosef, why is there a difference between putting the candle in the sand, such that when it gets to the sand, it's going to go out, and putting water around the fire, on the talus, when the talus is on fire? They're really identical. And don't tell me that actually it's us or anyway, I'll say it's only mutter al pseida over there, because you see from the Rush's question, the Russian Bates, as we noted, he asked a kasha from Toisvis, from Perek Bam Madlikim, you see that the Rush takes for granted that there's no issur d'rabbanan on kiboy. So you see that the Rush only assert it when you're taking from the actual thing that's lit, either the wax or the oil or the wick. But when you put something outside of it, davar chutzalo, like water or sand, then it's mutter. And he thinks that's the view of the Tur against the reading of the Beis Yosef. So again, the Magen Avraham proves from the Gemara and Shabbos that if you, again, the Gemara and Shabbos says you can put water on the talus that surrounds the fire. So you see that, we'll leave aside the issue of laundering for the moment, you could put water on the talus that surrounds the fire. So you see over there that as long as it's outside the system, it's mutter. So what's the difference? Again, when you put the candle in the sand, you're causing the candle to extinguish when it gets to the sand. That's equivalent to water on the talus, and therefore it's mutter. The rush only prohibits removing the fuel. So most poskim seem to disagree with the Beis Yosef and his Havana of the rush. They hold like the Magen Avraham. The Rama over there himself actually paskins like Tosfos. So according to the Rama, you could even remove the oil if you wouldn't put out the flame. That might be impossible, but you could cut the wax candle, not with a knife, but in another way. So what are the different opinions? Again, we have three opinions, if you wish, so far in terms of this question. We have Tosfos. Tosfos holds that the definition of grama is where it is put out, but there's no immediate effect of your actions. And the Rama paskins like Tosfos. The Rush is machmir. The Rush says, no, even if you're going to cause the extinguishing of the flame to take place later, it's not necessarily grama. It's still aser if you remove fuel from the system, causing it to go out earlier. And there's a machlokas, how you understand the Rush. According to the Beis Yosef, then anytime you touch you cause the extinguishing agent to be touching the fuel, like putting a candle in sand, then that's kibui biadayim, and it would be aser, it wouldn't be considered grama. Whereas according to the Magen Avraham, that's not true. That case of putting the candle in the sand would be considered grama. And it's only aser when you actually remove the fuel or the wick, you remove part of the fire. As I said, the Rama anyways makil, because the Rama paskins like Tosfos, though the Mishnah Berurah writes that from a number of achronim, it's right to be machmir for the Rush. So again, just to summarize, the Machaber paskins like the Rush, the Magen Avraham and the Beis Yosef argue what the Rush means, the Rama paskins like Tosfos. Fine. Now, if you look at the Gemara, and we're going to get back to, in just a couple of moments, a number of practical applications of this debate between Tosfos the Rush, and the Beis Yosef, and the Magen Avraham, and the Rama, etc. It's clear from the Gemara, though, in Daf Kof Chaf and Beis and Shabbos, that Rama is not just a din in Hilchos Shabbos, though we have the drasha of lo saskam lachas yuhu da'asar gramu d'shari. For example, the Gemara over there discusses it in the context of the Yisr Mechikas Hashem by being tovel in a mikvah if you have your name written on your flesh. So there are other cases that this question of grama comes up, and also from where we could perhaps extrapolate the nature of what makes something grama and what doesn't. So one of the most famous sugyas is the sugya of Bidka D'maya. It appears in Sanhedrin 9 Zayin Amud Beis with respect to killing. It appears in Chulin Tazayin Amud Aleph with respect to shechita. The Gemara there says in Sanhedrin, Hayman dekafse l'chafei ba'ashkel alei Bidka D'maya. So a person ties up his friend. Well, maybe he's not so much his friend. He ties up his somebody else, and then he releases a dam of water onto that person. So then, girei didehu, it's girei didei, and you're chayev. It's considered tzichel b'yadayim, you're chayev misa. And the Gemara explains that's only when it's b'koach rishon. But if it's b'koach sheni, it's grama and pater. And the same idea for shechita. So what's the difference between koach rishon and koach sheni? So this is a big machlokas rishonim. Rashi seems to say, both in Chulin and in Sanhedrin, though it's somewhat unclear, Rashi basically seems to say that if the guy is far away from the Bidka D'maya, so then it would be Koach Sheni and your Potter. If he's close, such that he's immediately killed, then it's Koach Rishon and your Chayv. Rashi sounds like he actually holds exactly like the Tosfos in Beitza that we mentioned earlier, that it's all totally in the question of time, meaning to say that if the action is immediate, then it is considered grama. It's not considered grama. And if the action is delayed, then it is considered grama. That's Rashi's understanding, it would seem. If we look at the Ad Raman Sanhedrin, it's a bit more complex. And the Yad Rama Shita is actually, it's somewhat difficult. But the Rama seems to say that it's not Talui in Zman. He says that everything is dependent on whether everything is here already. For example, if the water, if when I release the dam, the water is already by the dam, such that when I release the dam, now the water is released and it goes and it kills the guy. Even if he's, I don't know, 50 feet downstream, he's going to be chai of misa for ritzicha. And if the water is not yet at the dam, so then it's going to be considered koach sheni. That's more of a grama. Likewise, the Rama says that even if the water is here, but it's connected to the water before and such that it more directly causes his killing, so then it's going to be koach rishon. And if not, it's going to be considered koach sheni. So according to the Rama, he has two examples to what would make something considered koach sheni. But it's not toloi in time. I think Rabbi Willig says over from the Rav that the machlokas between Rashi and the Rama is basically a variation of the machlokas between the Rush and Tosfos. According to Tosfos and Beit San, Rashi and Sanhedrin and Chulin, the question of whether or not something is considered grama or not, whether it's koach rishon or koach sheni, is basically tali in time. If there's an immediate effect from your action, then you'd have to sort of figure out how to define even immediate. But if there's more or less an immediate effect of your action, then it's considered biadayim or koach rishon, it's not grama. And if I do something and only sometime later there's an effect, so then it's considered grama, it's considered koach sheni and the like. And according to the Rush and the Rama, though, they don't exactly say the same thing, but more or less they both hold that if a whole system is set up, even though there's no immediate effect, there's no immediate consequence of your action, it's all part of one system, so then it's considered koach rishon and your chayev. And koach sheni is when it's not in the system or part of the system or the like. We will see in a moment that I want to see a number of other background issues before we get this. But Rabbi Willig thought, and I think he might have even said this from the Rav, but Rabbi Willig thought that a nafka mina would be the question, for example, of changing timers, changing a Shabbos clock. When you change a Shabbos clock, you could actually do it two ways. One way is where you prevent melacha from happening. In other words, right now, my air conditioner is going to go on at 10 a.m. And it turns out it was a cold day, so I don't want it to go on. So I remove that peg, and now it's just going to remain in the off position. Everybody would agree that's not asur at all, alf melacha. We'll talk about it. Actually, it might be an issue of muksa, but it's not a melacha issue. The debate, though, is could I cause it to go on earlier? Right now, it's scheduled to go on at 2 in the afternoon. I want my air conditioner to go on at 10 a.m. It's a very hot day. Can I cause it to go on earlier? So certainly that would be grama at the very least, and therefore at least for Ashkenazim would be asur under normal circumstances. But as we'll see, grama is a very lenient isser. It's mutim makom hefsid, it's mutim makom mitzvah, and other such cases. So would it be mutter to cause something to go on earlier, to happen earlier, malacha that wouldn't happen at all or would happen later and now it's going to happen earlier? So the Rav apparently thought that this is Tali in this machlokas Rashi Rama / Tosfos and Rush. That's why he objected to this. He thought it was Asur. It's a little interesting because we mentioned before that the Rama Paskins like Tosfos, but we'll get back to that a little bit. And there are other poskim who are makel on that shaila. Chief among them is Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Is that because he thought we paskin like Tosfos, or because he rejected this whole chakira? We'll have to see that a little later, and this debate also relates to the grama machines to some degree. We will get back to these questions. But we're there before we get to contemporary issues in Achronisha Pilpulim. We have to do some more basics in terms of the Gemara and Rishonim. So as we mentioned, the Gemara says that if a talis is on fire, you could put it on, and you could surround it by barrels of water, even ones that are certainly going to break. And the Gemara also has another Eitzah, which is that you could pour water on the talis. You pour water on the talis, and now the fire, when it spreads, will go out. That's what the Gemara says. In other words, and the Gemara says that's totally in the Machlokas Rabbanan Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbanan, it would be mutter. According to Rabbi Yossi, it would be aser. And when you read the Gemara, it sounds like these are two equal applications, meaning to say surrounding the barrel, the fire with new barrels that will inevitably break, is equivalent to surrounding the fire by water on the talus. That's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav was matir the water on the talus. That was talus shachas ba'or mitzad echad nosin ala mayim mitzad acher. And that's equivalent to the case of the Mishnah. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. The problem is that the Rif only paskins the case of putting the barrels around the fire. In other words, he is makel for grama. You're allowed to put the barrels around the fire even if they're inevitably going to break. But he does not cite the halacha that states you're allowed to pour water on the talus. So the question is, why would that be? Why would the Rif not paskin like this? The Gemara says that they're talis abzeh. So the Ramban in his Chidushim over there explains, it's quoted also by the Ran and other Rishonim as well. The Ramban explains, the Beis Yosef cites it as well. The Ramban writes that the reason why the Rif omits the din of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav is because he thinks that it's against the Gemara in Perek Kira, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara over there says that if you have a candle, you can't put a vessel with water underneath the candle such that if the spark would fly from the candle into the vessel, it would go out. And that's because of Gram Kibbui. And that's because it's not L'chor, it's not even Gram Kibbui. It's worse than Gram Kibbui. So in other words, basically the way the Ramban understands it is as follows. There's a machlokas, right? On the one hand, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said, you're allowed to put water on the talus around the fire. And that's equivalent to the case of putting a kli with water underneath the fire. And therefore, since we're machmir, that you're not allowed to put the kli with water underneath the fire, memela, it will also be aser to put water around the talus that's on fire. That is the quandary that the Rif was dealing with. And to solve that problem, he did not paskin the halacha of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav that says you're allowed to surround the fire, put water onto the talus. That's the psak of the Rif. So the way technically it works is that basically Rav Yehuda Amar Rav held that the Mishnah earlier that said putting the plate of water underneath the candle was the view of Rav Yossi, who asserted Gram Kibbui, but we paskin like Rav Ashi, who said that that din is even going according to the Rabbanan, and therefore we're forced to be machalik between the case of the barrels, which are mutter, and the case of putting water on a talus, which is us, or against Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So what is the difference? Why is it mutter to surround the fire with barrels, which will inevitably break and extinguish the fire, and yet it's aser to put water on the talus that is on fire, even though it seems like it's the same thing? So the answer is that putting water on the talus or putting the kli with water underneath the candle is mekar, this is what the Ramban says, Bedas Arif, is mekarev guf hakibui lehedya, and therefore it's worse. But nesinas mayim on the barrels is not, right? So when is it aser? When you're mekarev guf hakibui lehedya. Again, two examples. Number one is putting water on the actual talus that's on fire, even though it's you put the water far away from the fire, but still you're mekarev guf hakibui lehedya. and likewise putting water in a kli underneath the candle that might be sparkling. Whereas in the barrels that surround the fire, that is not mekariv guf hakibui lehadya. That's the way the Ramban understands the Rif. The Ramban brings a raya that this is also the view of the Yerushalmi. The Ramban doesn't say the chiluk. It doesn't say why one is considered mekariv guf hakibui lehadya and why one isn't. But the Beis Yosef explains that in one case you're lefishinosein mayim lehadya, meaning to say, in one case you're putting the water on the talus or below the candle. In one case, there's an extra barrier. There's an extra step. First, you're putting the barrels there, and for the fire to go out, the fire has to burn down the barrels, break the barrels, release the water, and then the water will put out the fire. So in one case, it's mekariv guf hakibui lehadya, and therefore it's aser. In the other case, because it still has to break the barrels and the like, that's one step removed, and that makes it considered grama. So that's the view of the Rif. It's also the Pashtus, the view of the Rush, because the Rush simply quotes the Rif. However, most other Rishonim disagree with the Rif, and they hold no, that we paskin like Rav Yehuda Amarav. We paskin that it's mutter to put water on the talus itself. So then you have to figure out, what is the difference between grama and kiruv kibui, right? Why is it that you're allowed to put water on the talus, but you're not allowed to put a bowl of water underneath the candles? So the Ramban himself says, well, if it wasn't for the Rif and the Yerushalmi, this is what I would have said. I would have said that we do paskin like Yehuda Amarav. It's not similar to the case of the candle with water, because in the case of the candle with water, it's vadai mechabe. Here it's not vadai. In other words, when you surround the talus that's on fire with water and you put water on the talus, it's not certainly going to put out the fire. Now, if you know, the Ramban himself doesn't say he's accepting that. He sort of says, this is what I would have said, I'll be the Pashas of the Bavli. The way that Ran understands the Ramban is really that's the way he's paskining. He's really paskining against the Rif. And here we're going to see a bunch of other chilukim as well. So again, let's just clarify what we're doing. We're trying to explain why is it that putting the bowl of water underneath the candle is aser, that's not considered grama kibui, but pouring the water onto the talus that's on fire, such that when the fire reaches that wet spot, it'll go out, that's considered grama kibui and mutter. One distinction number one is the Ramban. The question is the degree to which it's vada. If you look at the Rashba and Zayin Mabeis, he gives a different answer to this question. He says that it depends whether there's a hefsek between the nitzotzos and the mayim. In the case of the candle, there's no hefsek. The sparks go right into the water. Avir isn't considered a hefsek. Whereas in the case of the talus is a hefsek. It's only after the fire continues to spread along the talus that it reaches the water and it will go out. So basically the question is there a hefsek or not? Or is it minatzad or is it vertical? If it's minatzad, it's mutter. If it's vertical, it's aser. The Ran in Perkira, Chafal from the base Bedapi Rifti, Bamasalni Tzotzos, says that the chiluk is that in the case of the talus that's on fire, the mayim is not mechabe es hadolek, rather it's monea shelo yispashet. In other words, sometimes water extinguishes a fire, like when you pour water on a fire, and sometimes water simply prevents the fire from spreading further. So in the case of putting the cup of water under the candle, so there you're extinguishing the fire, right? The spark falls into the water and then it extinguishes it. Whereas in the case of the talus, it's not the pshat that the water that's saturated in the talus puts out the fire. Rather, the fire simply can't continue to spread when it reaches that area, and it goes out on its own due to lack of fuel. That's, I think, the easiest chaluk. In Tosfos over there in Parkira, you see two chilukim similar to some of the ones we said before. Number one is he says it's not vadai, And number two is it's more direct. Now, as I mentioned, the Rush, though, quotes the Rif Kipshuto, and therefore it would seem that the Rush Paskins like the Rif. Now, that actually brings up an interesting question. How do we expect the Mechaber to Paskin? On the one hand, the Rush and the Rif seem to be Machmir. They don't Paskin the Halacha of Yehuda Merav, and therefore it should be Aser to put water on the talus that's on fire. The Rambam is Mekel, but two out of three are Aser. But most Rishonim are Mekel. And it's even a little more complicated. Because,
Rabbi?
Yeah.
If you're going to say it's to stop it from being mispashet, so then how do you explain the case of the barrels?
The barrels are easier because they're more indirect.
But there, it's not just causing it to not be mispashet. There, it's out of the barrels.
Yeah, but there it has to burn down, break the barrels first. So that's grammar for a different reason. So the tricky part, though, is the Rush really understanding the Rif as the Ramban did? Why would you think that not that way? Because the Tur in Siman Shin Lamed Aleph Sif Chaf Gimel just paskins the leniency, right? He paskins like Rav Yudah Merav. Now, it would be very strange for the Tur to argue with his father without even citing his father, right? Without even citing the Machmir view. So how could that be? So the Shilta Giborim over here, Mem Hamad Alf Daperif Os Aleph, is bothered by this question. And he says it must be that the Rush, and maybe even and the Tur, had a different Havana of the Rif. That the reason why the Rif didn't paskin Rav Yudah Merav, and the Rush didn't paskin Rav Yudah Merav, has nothing to do with the fact that he thought that's a problem of kibui, as the Ramban stated, but rather it's because it's a problem of kibus, shriyaso zeu kibuso, as you didn't want to say like the Rashbam. If you remember, we talked about this extensively when we did the Malach of Mechabes, that the reason why you can't pour water on a talus is because shriyaso zeu kibuso. So it would be mutter to pour orange juice on the talus. You can't pour water on the talus. And that's the problem. And therefore, as long as you do a different liquid that's dirtying, then it would be mutter als kibui. If you remember, there was some stiras bedas hatur in terms of this question, but that's the theory of the Shilta Giborim. So we'll see how we paskin in a moment. I guess let's just take a look. So how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? So if we take a look again at Siman Shin Lamed Aleph, Sif Chaf Gimel. So again, the Lefi HaMechaber L'chayra, he doesn't quote that Shilta Giborim. So it's basically the Rif and the Rush versus most of the other opinions. So, Sif Chaf Beis, Teva Shachas Ba, or Yachalifros, or Shal Gadima Tida Ha'acher, Shaloti Sarif, everybody agrees to that. Osim Mechitz B'chal HaKelam, Mahafzik Ben Bleika, Afil Kulcheres Chadashim Le'imayim, Shevadeiz Baku, Kishetagia Lanad Leika. Okay, that's also Pashut according to the Rav Hanan, the ground keeper is Mutter. Hagah. The Makom Seida, we'll get back to that in a couple minutes. The Ramahs only make a Makom Seida. And Sif Chav Gimel, Talas Shachas Ba'or, Poshtu Miskas above Eino Choshesh and Techabeh. V'yesh Omrim, She'ein Sarech, Shelo Yiskav Nakach, that's the view of the tour. He's still saying Deloka Tour. Then Sif Chav Dalid, Yesh Omrim, She'ein Yachol Iten Alav Mashkin, Kedei She'yichabeh Kishyegi Elohem. So that's the view of the Rif. V'yesh omrim shemoter lasos kain b'shar mashkin chutz min amayim mishem kibos. That it's mutter, that would be, let's say, the Rashbam's view. V'yesh matirin afilu b'mayim, that would be the view of most Rishonim, probably. V'divei svar shenis nireim. The middle view is correct. So the answer is that the Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter as long as it's not water. So he doesn't paskin like his Havana of the Rif. Fine. So that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, okay. What we're going to do, I guess I said it would stop at 12:40, so we're going to stop here. What we're going to turn to next time is we're going to begin with, I'll give you a Mar Makom now since I didn't give it to you before, Melach al Yedei HaRuach, Rabbeinu Chanan al Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Beis, Amrav Yehuda Amr Shmuel Poseach Adam Dallas Kenegra Madura, Beinu Choshesh, talking about opening up a door in front of where the wind is going to blow on the fire, Ayin Sham and Rabbeinu Chanan al, very interesting. And we're going to talk about whether a grama is pater or mutter. Take a look at the Mordechai that I sent you, Shin Sadi Tess, and the Magen Avraham in Siman Tuf Kuf Yudal that we already saw before. And we're going to also focus on the question of Shabbos and Yontif being different. So we're going to speak a lot about grama on Yontif. That's very relevant, especially if you want to use the Star K Shabbos mode to change the temperature of your oven on Yontif, all of which is based off of grama. It might not even be grama, but at best it's grama. Then we're going to talk about cases that are exceptions where you're chayav for grama. We're going to talk a little bit about Esho Mishum Chitzav and Shabbos. So you might want to brush up on your Bava Kama and the Machlokas Riochon Meshlokas in terms of Esho Mishum Chitzav. And then we're going to talk from there, we're going to turn to adjusting Shabbos clocks again. And the like. There's a tshuva from Rav Moshe that I didn't put on your sheets. Igros Moshe Yardaya, Chelak Yemol, Sinanam Zayin, Os Dalid. And then we're going to do a bunch of tshuvos from Rav Shlomo Zalman on timers. One of them is Chelak Aleph, Siman Yud Gimel. Take a look there. I didn't give that to you. There's a lot of examples. And then we'll talk about Psik Resha Begrama, which we talked about when we did Zoraya. If you want, there's a very nice discussion on the halachos of Grama in Chela Gimel of Orchos Shabbos. Okay, so we'll stop here and everyone should have a good day. We will finish this topic, Be'ezus Hashem, on Tuesday, and then we'll see where we'll go. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.